Well, good afternoon, Lake Norman, and welcome to Town Talk. We're coming to you live from WSIC, the Real Talk Studio, nestled on the banks of beautiful Lake Norman, streaming worldwide from Sydney, Australia, to Gray Court, South Carolina. Man. Population 764. I'm your host, Bill Russell, president of Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, one of the largest chambers of commerce in the Charlotte region. My guests today are Carol Gray. He's with Carol Gray & Associates. Michelle Hoverson, the executive director of Lake Norman Community Development Corporation. Lily Blakely, a senior at Woodlawn School and a founding member of the Steam Fest team, and we're going to talk about that. My producer, Bill Blakely, in the other room. Bill, do you know the significance of March 20th, other than it's one day after spring?
I do not. You've got me again. You've got me penned. Do you think I would learn?
Harlan Sanders founded Kentucky Fried Chicken March 20th, 1930.
Mm, bless him.
And do you know... KFC operates in 120 countries and territories around the world and sells an estimated 12 million pieces of chicken per day.
Oh, God. I don't know if that's tasty or not.
12 million pieces of chicken a day. That's a lot of chicken.
That is a lot of chicken.
That's a lot of chicken, especially since Harlan started cooking it up. Bill, you been to Gray Court, South Carolina?
I have not had the pleasure.
You been to Gray Court?
I'm not.
You ever heard of Gray Court?
No, I've not.
Lily, you.
I'm going to learn something new.
Gray Court. Gray Court is in Laurens County, South Carolina. And Mr. Gray, you were born and raised in Gray Court?
That's right, I have to confess.
And how did Gray Court get its name? Because I looked that up.
Theoretically, my grandparents had this little farming community there, and they named it after a place in London. And they had gone over there in 1895 and saw Gray's Court, a little place in London, and came back and basically used the same name.
Wikipedia, and I'm not going to dispute you because you're always right. Wikipedia said that the railroad came through, and one of the conductors said that there was a lot of grays there, and so they came up with Gray Court. But your story sounds better than my railroad story.
Well, it's basically, they used to say we have a lot of grays, Armstrongs, and Bermuda grass.
I hear you. Bill, Andrew Johnson, our 17th president, he worked as a tailor in Laurens County in the 1820s. Do you know the significance of Andrew Johnson? You've taken American history, Lily.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Who was Andrew Johnson?
No idea. A president.
17th president, Carol.
He was former president of the United States.
Yep. He came in right after Lincoln was assassinated. So Johnson took over. He was from Tennessee. And he was not real kind on the South. Even though he was from Tennessee, he was upset that the South has seceded. So he kind of led the whole... it was very tough on the South during his tenure, but also he was the very first president to be impeached.
That's right.
He was impeached, and it came down to one vote, and a senator was very ill, got out of his bed, went and voted to keep him from being, he was acquitted because of that one vote. So anyway, that's your history lesson today, Bill.
I'm with it. I mean, I learned something every day.
I want to start with you, Michelle. Some things I didn't know about you. You were an associate pastor at Grace Covenant Church for, I think, 17 years.
17 years.
So you were there when Grace Covenant was on 115 in the smaller campus. Is that
right? After a year, I came on staff there a year after they built the new location on 21.
You have seen, though, Grace Covenant Church was a much smaller church in 1996 when I got here.
It was
here
in the old Habitat. Well, it became the Habitat building, which now is no longer there.
Yep, tore that down, and
yeah,
now we have
a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm. But you've seen how the ministry at Grace Covenant has continued to grow. I mean, I've gone over there several times, mm-hmm. and it is a huge church with a lot of activities going on.
It sure is. It sure is. Probably three building projects. Mm-hmm. So it has up through high school now, so during the weeks. And it's used every day of the week, which is what the church is meant to do.
You know, last year, Farrell Lemmings was the Lake Norman Chambers Duke Energy Citizenship and Service Award
yes,
winner.
Yes, I was there.
And Farrell, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with him on a number of leadership programs that, mm-hmm. and I've listened to him. He's listened to me, but he is an inspiring, motivational guy. And
yes.
I wondered how we were going to be able to replace somebody like Farrell.
Yes, it's been a big change for a lot of people. But it's interesting. The gentleman that is the current lead pastor there is the nephew of the gentleman who was the pastor when it was on 115. So there's a deep connection, some real DNA connection to the church.
How did you know when you were called? How did you know when it was that moment that you said, I'm going to go into the ministry?
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were going to be tapping back that far. Because actually, I have been in ministry 27 years, probably. I was actually working for a law firm in D.C. at the time, and in a communications role. It was a large international law firm. And I was in prayer in my home office one day and just felt the words kind of go through me. I don't know how else you say it, but had a thought that was not mine, that was an invitation to give myself to the church.
And you just felt it.
And I knew that both my grandfathers were pastors, so I was raised in that environment, but I just always thought I would be in the marketplace. So I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised by the when and the how. So that's how.
Tell me about the Above and Beyond group that you were involved in.
Oh, I started, Above and Beyond was a missions foundation that we started while I was at Grace to help Grace Covenant people go to the mission field, because Grace is very missions-oriented church. And but we created a really unique model called Serve Local, Go Global, and it ended up becoming rather popular, so we created its own 501c3, and we would help people. They would write a serving plan, and we would pay for up to $400 of their mission trip if they served in the local community. So they had to write a serving plan, and so I actually left Grace to run that full time. So we helped about 2,400 people go to 82 nations, and they served a little over 20,000 hours in their local communities before they went on their mission trip.
You know, if you're a past chamber exec like Carol Gray and myself, there's moments that you talk to yourself a lot. But in 2020, you wrote a book called Mentoring Moments with Myself, a collection of letters to your former self about faith, love, leadership. I didn't know you were an author as well. No. Tell me about that book.
Well, yeah, you can't write a book like that until you're old, because you're writing to your younger self. But I just wanted to take a lot of lessons that I had learned and deposit in younger women. I had a lot of women asking me, oh, would you be my mentor? Would you be my coach? And I couldn't have coffee with everybody. So I just decided, I'm going to write a book and do a lot of letters to my younger self on things that I would have done differently, lessons that I learned, and I did, and it came out the week of the lockdown of COVID.
Wow.
So we had to market it a little differently.
You know, when we get back, we're going to talk about affordable housing, but it'd be very good if you and I could talk to our former self and what we should have done differently, Carol. Stay with us on Town Talk. We'll be right back after some words for our sponsors. Those of you who are streaming on our platforms, we thank you for staying with us on Facebook and LinkedIn and X. And, you know, do you X? Do you X?
I do not. No.
But you know what we're talking about,
yes.
Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still getting used to the whole thing you know, it used to be Twitter, now it's X. It's sort of like the whole Prince thing, you know, where Prince just got rid of his name and he was a symbol.
Yeah.
But what are you, mostly Instagram?
Yeah, mostly Instagram.
That's really, any other platforms that you're really on?
Not really.
Regularly. Well, we've got a whole host of people that are watching us probably on Facebook and probably YouTube as well. But today, the Chamber of Commerce, and it's still going well, it just ended, 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we had a blood drive with the blood bank. And we had WSIC and Rose Pharmacy. They were partners of ours, and we've been promoting that. And I talked to the people from the blood bank, and they were very happy with the number of people that came out. So anyone who stopped by the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce today and gave blood and gave the gift of life, thank you so very much for doing that. And I think Justin Gazeppes, he was certainly on the schedule to give blood. We hope, Bill, that he went by there and did that.
I'm sure he did. He's a man of his word.
last night, the Chamber of Commerce, we had two events. And I was telling Bill, earlier, Carol, the Chamber, we had two events going on at the same time. We had an event going on with just entrepreneurs that were taking place at Williamson Wealth, where I had Robin and Jack Salzman talking about how they got into business, the things that they did, and his new venture with the pickleball court. He talked about that, and also her giving with Grace Foundation. So we had that going on. But at the same time that we were doing that, we had a business after hours in North Charlotte, South Huntersville at Viridian. And so the membership was down there doing a ribbon cutting and doing a little chamber business mixer. And we're over here with the entrepreneurs, so we were splitting our forces, but we seemed to be able to carry that off.
Productive night.
It was an extremely productive night, and we've got a whole lot of other things going on. For you who are streaming with us, I think we're going back at about 20 seconds live, so thank you for staying with us, and we're going back to Town Talk. Welcome back to Town Talk. I am your host, Bill Russell, and I have Lily Blakely. She is a senior at Woodlawn School, and she is going to be sharing a little bit about Steamfest in a little while. Michelle Hoverson, the executive director of Lake Norman Community Development Corporation. Carol Gray, former president of the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce. I want to go back to you, Michelle, and yes, we want to talk about affordable housing and our workforce housing in the area. But I was reading on your bio, you graduate from Washington College, and you served in the White House press office. That just, I mean,
that's amazing.
Under what administration?
Carter.
Carter. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me about that.
Well, I had served on his campaign. I was young, no mortgage, and very interested in the political world, fresh out of college, and was fortunate enough to be the director of volunteers for the inauguration. And that just led into a press office job, because that's what I had done during the campaign. I did what was called advance work, and so I was an advance person. It was a natural flow over. So it was interesting. It was fun. I have to say, it's a time in my life I'll never forget. And there's nothing like the day that you turn in your White House pass and you're able to go in the gate one day and you're not able to go in the gate the next day. So
I have a lot of respect for any of those, the White House press secretaries that actually get up in front of the whole gaggle of all of the media.
Yeah, I couldn't have.
And they have to answer the questions about what the president really meant versus what he or she might have said. It's just amazing.
Not my skill set.
Oh, gosh.
No, I was behind the scenes doing planning of trips and things like that.
And no note cards. They have a notebook, but most of them, they're just looking straight at it and going with it.
Yeah.
Graduate of Washington College, one of the 10th oldest, it's the 10th oldest college in the United States, and the first college chartered after American independence. I thought that was fascinating.
One of the few that George Washington actually signed the charter of the school. You did your homework. I'm impressed.
Well, how about that? Okay, let's switch gears. Let's talk about what is the Lake Norman CDC?
Well, it stands for, this has nothing to do with health. It stands for Lake Norman Community Development Corporation. So it focuses on advancing affordable housing, because we have a definite affordable housing issue in the Lake Norman area. And we want to see greater movement in the availability of attainable affordable housing.
You know, Lake Norman is looked upon as being a very affluent region, and it is in certain sectors. I mean, we've got some beautiful, beautiful homes here, but there are pockets of poverty still here in Cornelius, Davidson, Mooresville.
Sure. But affordable housing, it's important to remember, Bill, that affordable housing doesn't have to do with poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Affordable housing means that a person is able to afford their rent, or they're able to afford a home. 30% of your income is what should go to housing. And we have a housing problem for what I call the missing middle. We have individuals that are serving us in our community, like police officers, firefighters, teachers, retail workers, who are making between that 60 and 100% of the average median income. So you take an average teacher, $44,000. But to afford rent, in the Lake Norman area, which is an average of over $1,900, they should be making $84,000.
Right.
So that missing, that the middle income individuals are missing housing. And it's very stressful. And they're having to move out of the area, which puts more cars on the highways coming back into the area. Because Cornelius, for example, 90% of the people who work in Cornelius drive in from outside of Lake Norman. So, and that's a lot of the reason is because they can't find an affordable place to live. So we want to see that change.
Yeah, and you hit on exactly what I was going to ask next. And some of the teachers that teach in our schools, whether in the teaching at Woodlawn or teaching in our public schools, our firefighters that are here, our police officers who serve our community, in many mm-hmm. cases, they actually can't afford to live in the mm-hmm. communities that they serve.
That's right. I just received an application a week ago for our rental assistance program from a police officer who works in Lake Norman, has to live in Harrisburg. So he has a long drive, three children, the stress of getting home in order to make a game or, you know, be involved in things as a first responder. That's a long distance to have to drive back in. And it really helps the community when a police officer is able to see students or neighbors in the grocery store, run into them, you know, not be outside the community coming in, but be a part of the community. So we really want to assist that median income individual with more opportunity to attain right. affordable housing.
Carol, I was down at the Cornelius Town Board meeting a few weeks back on a rezoning issue for Royal Bliss, which was overwhelmingly approved by the town. But you were making your presentation, and you were talking about specifically, without bringing up the individual, but somebody whose their rent had gone up, and they were on a fixed income, I believe, and their rent mm-hmm. had gone up astronomical. And you talked
probably
about
probably 32% was that was probably what I was
you
presenting.
Were talking
yeah,
about it. Yeah,
last year.
Just the absolute shock mm-hmm. of
yes.
that going up.
Yes.
So talk about that, but also talk about the assistance that you provide.
Well, last year was a very traumatic year for a lot of people because the lid on rent increases during COVID lifted. And there were just a lot of properties that were raising their rent 25 to 37. I even had some people tell me 37%. So if you're on a modest income, if your rent goes up $300-$400, that's not a lot of people don't have $300-$400 margin in their budget. Not with healthcare going up the way it is. Childcare has gone up a lot in the last couple of years. So, we had a program that was helping seniors. We still have some money left in that program. So if there is a senior that's listening and their rent has gone up more than 15% in the last 12 months, they could get a hold of us and I can tell them more about that program. But our main program right now is a rental assistance called the Rental Bridge Program. And it's for people who earn between 60 and 100%. Average median income, who want to live in the Lake Norman area because they work in the Lake Norman area. So we help people either stay where they're living so they don't have to move out to Statesville or Lincolnton or something like that, leave their rental unit, or we'll help somebody move into the Lake Norman area.
Michelle, how does somebody apply for something like
just
that?
Just go to our website. They can download the application, all the criteria, and our website's very easy to remember. It's just lakenormancdc.org. So they can read what the qualifications are, and they can apply right from our website or call me.
Is there a cap to the size of the grant? Or?
Yes. What we try to do is help someone be at that 30%. So we will pay the difference to get them. So let's say that they're paying 45% of their income. Well, if we can get them to that 30% without going over $500 a month, that's basically what the program is. And it's a guarantee for 1 year. They have to go through a financial coaching program. That's 4 one-on-one coaching sessions and some videos that they have to watch. And then we hold a second year for them. And if they complete that financial program and everything's good with where they live, they have good status, have paid their rent each month, then we bank a second year for them, which really helps somebody stabilize. It gives them time if they need to get on a wait list somewhere else. And hopefully through that financial coaching program, which is HUD certified, if they identify that person as potentially a participant in a special HUD mortgage program, then they will help them build a budget towards maybe at the end of that 2 years qualifying for a mortgage. So we find that's just good all the way around. There's a lot of wins in that.
Carol, you stepped away from the Charlotte Chamber, I think about 20 years ago. I'm not exactly sure, but it was about that time.
Yes.
But at one point, you were the presidency of the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce, 5,000 business member organization. How did you and the Charlotte Chamber tackle workforce housing?
Well, we basically had a program that we worked on encouraging new business to come to Charlotte and local industry to expand here as opposed to somewhere else. And we focused on the availability of jobs initially through better jobs, and we were able to keep ahead of that fairly well over the years. The 80s and 90s, 2000s were good years for Charlotte and continue to be in the region. So we would do everything we could to create partnerships throughout the region to help prepare their industry, their company, I'm sorry, their region to receive new business. Uh-huh. Sometimes you needed better roads, sometimes you needed better sewer lines, water lines, and you had to prepare to receive growth when somebody knocked on the door. So we worked very hard on that end. In terms of promoting for actual participants in housing that could be subsidized housing by business, we didn't work hard in that area, but the towns, Charlotte and Mecklenburg County and the municipalities had programs that they would encourage developers to construct, and we would be supportive in any way we could in that regard. But in terms of putting cash dollars into new housing, that was not something that we were involved with.
Right.
Today, Bill, I would say that companies are very concerned about affordable housing because it's a retention and a recruitment issue. People want to, for instance, you're building a new hospital in an area, you want to make sure that you can get employees to transfer to live near that new location, and that you can retain employees who start to work there. So it's become, I think it's a heightened issue within corporations to pay attention to what housing costs are and how broad the inventory is for affordable housing so that they can retain and recruit employees.
Michelle, when we a couple of weeks ago, we had Commissioner Brandon from the town of Davidson in here talking about an issue, which is gentrification. We're going to talk about that when we get back. But for those of you who are with us, stay with us on Town Talk. We're going to go to a break and listen to some of our sponsors, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Thank you for those of you who are streaming with us. I talked a little bit a while ago on the last break about some of the programs that the Chamber of Commerce was doing earlier today. In addition to having the blood drive going on with the Chamber, we had a ribbon cutting at TLU Athletic Recovery and Wellness in Mooresville that I understand went really, really well. Carol, last year in 2023, we had 52 ribbon cuttings that the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce hosted. Now, again, that doesn't equate with the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce, which had 5,000 members, but 52 businesses opening up and opening
impressive.
Their doors.
That yeah. really is.
One a week?
Lily, I got to tell you, when you see somebody who is opening up a new business and they've invested, and many times they're taking a huge risk because they're investing their savings to get it going. And you see them with the scissors in their hand and they're cutting that ribbon and they got their family around them. It is a proud, proud moment when you see a business do that.
For sure.
And, that's one of the highlights, I guess, in my tenure of being the president of this Chamber of Commerce is just being able to participate and watch those people as they're cutting that ribbon. That's just neat.
It has to be rewarding.
It is.
Yeah, I had the opportunity once to cut a ribbon with Arnold Palmer.
Oh, did you really?
On his one of his dealerships.
Okay.
So that was very memorable.
Last week, we had a Focus Friday here at the Chamber of Commerce, where on the third Friday, we have a briefing on some type of community or legislative issue. And last week, we had our police chiefs from Cornelius, Davis, and Huntersville. So we had Kim Davidson, our new chief from Davidson, David Balcom. Actually, they're all new because we had all of our police chiefs kind of step down at the same time. But David Balcom, the chief of police here, and then Barry Graham, the chief of police in Huntersville. All of them talked about community policing. Dave Yoakum with Business Today, Cornelius Today was there, and he wrote it up. So we did that. Again, got a lot of things going on at the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce. Tomorrow night, we have our chamber annual meeting. It is 36 years since the Chamber of Commerce was started in 1987. Our business person of the year is Joel Olson. And I think you know Joel at O2 Energy.
Yes, yeah. I do.
He has the, you know, he's just done fantastic with his business and growing that, has a solar farm.
Didn't they win something last year, at last year's gala? They're
not Joel.
Entrepreneur, or the business. Did the business win something? Because I remember them being featured somehow. Was he a presenter? Maybe he was a presenter.
Yeah. No, not him. But and then Justin Kazepes, who is our station owner here, is going to be our Entrepreneur of the Year, which is the McIntosh Law Firm, Passion to Succeed. And again, Justin coming in, making the changes as he's done. He is a local product. He went to, I think, Hopewell High School and is from Huntersville originally. So again, those of you who are streaming, we're going back live in just about 30 seconds. So stay with us and we'll be back at Town Talk. Welcome back to Town Talk. I'm your host, Bill Russell. We have Michelle Hoverson. She's the Executive Director of Lake Norman Community Development Corporation. Lily Blakely, with a senior with Woodlawn School, and Carol Gray, former president of the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce. And before we went to break, Michelle, I was telling you that I had Commissioner Brandon in here a few weeks ago. Also, Ruby Houston was here a few weeks ago as well. And we were talking about gentrification, particularly in Davidson, and seeing some of the, and Smithville too. What you see is some of the families who have lived there all their lives, you get development encroaching upon those neighborhoods, and the costs go up, the taxes go up, and some of those families can't continue to be able to live in the homes that they've been in all of their lives. And and so that is a huge problem that we have, particularly in Smithville and Davidson, West Davidson.
Yeah, all around, really, the Lake Norman area. It's one of the reasons why the Lake Norman CDC, we've started what we call the Home Preservation Fund, which is really the applicants are nonprofits that do critical home repairs, because one of the things that can happen, someone can own a home that is affordable for them. They have a lot of equity in it, a lot of time in it. But if they have a critical repair, like a septic tank has to be repaired, or the roof has caved in, or they've got mold, and they don't have the money to replace that, they can actually be in a situation where they would have to sell their home. And then when they sell their home, it's purchased by an investor, typically, remodels it, reframes it, and now it's no longer affordable to that missing middle individual. So the person who did own it is having to move out of the area, and it's not available to someone in that 60 to 100% AMI area that we were talking about.
Sure.
So we've created this home preservation fund that nonprofits can apply to in order to do the critical home repair. We're probably like a layer of financing. They would, because mold remediation is so expensive, or a new roof is so expensive, we would just be one funder of a couple of funders. But that that home preservation is a very important part of the affordable housing continuum.
Now, you work for a board of directors as well, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is your chair usually a one-year tenure, or do they go over multiple years?
Our chair is a multiple year. I think it's 2 years. And George Searle is our board chair right now. And we have a great board that has, what do they call it? Not scattered, but staggered terms. I was at a loss for the word. So we're still building our board. We have 9 board members now, but we'd like to go to 11.
Carol Gray and I, we were for a board of directors too, and I'm sure yours was staggered as well as mine. But you get a new chairman of board every year, a new chairman.
Yeah, it's tough.
So, and you don't work for one person, you work for the whole board, but by and large, that board member, that board chair is your sort of boss. And each one comes with their own personality. Each one has a different level of management. And so every year getting a new boss is a little bit challenging, isn't it, Carol?
It can be. You have to be an artful dodger.
One last question.
We have a great board, though. Our board is a working board. They really put their hands to the effort. We have several retired people, and they're passionate about affordable housing. So I'm fortunate that they're a working board.
I guess I have two last questions. One, how could the business community help you in solving some of the challenges that you have when it comes to workforce housing?
Great question. Number one, we have a wonderful flyer, poster, 11x17 poster on the rental assistance program. It has QR code on it. All somebody has to do is click on that QR code. They go right to our website to the application. And we are looking for businesses to put those up in like employee lounges or break rooms or things like that, because we need to get the word out to the end user. And any business that would be willing to share the information with their employees, we would be thrilled for that. Happy to do a lunch and learn. I just was at the Huntersville Police Department Tuesday morning at 5:30, where they were having a shift change. The night people were coming in, the morning people were coming in. So we were able to share with about 30 plus police officers the program. And that's the sort of thing, if a business can do that for us, provide an opportunity for us to share with their employees the program, that is wonderful.
Carol, I came to this Chamber of Commerce in 1996, and I got to tell you, that's when I met Carol Gray. And I have to tell you, and I think I've told you this before, I was very intimidated with Carol Gray. The presidency of the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce with 5,000 members, and we didn't even have 500 at the time. And over the course of that time, you, Tom Ramsger, Tom Davalt, Danny Hearn, you guys became mentors of mine, and I said, if I could take a little bit of this, a little bit of that one, and kind of put that together. But, you know, one of the things that you impressed very early on was working together. Working together works. That's what you've said. And one of the things that you did that I remember from the onset was you brought all of our chambers of commerce from York County and Chester and Lancaster and all the way up to Statesville and Cabarrus and Lake Norman. And you brought us together on the Regional Roads Committee because you said, look, Charlotte can't tackle this on our own. And everybody has issues. So let's all work together on these regional roads issues. And let's go to Raleigh together on that. Talk about the RRC, because you had Alan Tate as the chair of that.
Alan Tate was the very prominent name in Charlotte back a generation ago. And Alan he came to Charlotte from South Carolina and by himself started a real estate firm and grew it into the largest firm in the Charlotte region at one time, maybe still be largest, I don't know. But Alan was committed to giving back to the community, and he understood the connection between roads and highways and facilitating growth. And Alan made his money, and his firm made their money off of selling houses. And you didn't sell any houses till you had growth. So Alan was wedded to that from the very beginning. And he was very active in the roads area. When I first came to Charlotte, Alan and his wife hosted my wife and me for dinner, and he talked constantly about roads. So that was the vibration from Alan Tate, was roads and roads and roads. He had a lot of friends in that capacity. John Crosland was a major roads advocate as well. John was a name, again, a generation ago, that was very prominent, not only in house and real estate, but he was involved in multifamily and single-family development and land development and the whole picture. John was active at state level as well. And Alan felt that we needed a stronger grouping for political reasons, to convince local elected officials as well as state elected officials and federal elected officials to see that as a higher priority. in the funding. So it actually, money creates roads.
Right, right.
And state and federal money creates most of the roads, particularly the larger highways, interstate highways and state roads. And there's a process you have to go through in order to qualify for state and federal funding.
Right.
And there is a game involved, or a competition, if you will, involved. And we later, after I retired from the chamber, I was involved in helping organize the Lake Norman Transportation Commission.
That's right.
Which was a grouping of Huntersville, Cornelius, Davidson, and Mooresville together in a board that consolidated their agendas, political agendas.
Yeah, and prior to that point, Michelle, you know, Cornelius would go to Raleigh for mm-hmm. their roads needs. Davidson would go with their roads needs. Yeah. They were basically, you know, conflicting with each other. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the LNTC did was say, okay, look, let's all come together and prioritize internally with the LNTC. And Carol was the executive director for, what, 4 years?
4 years.
Yeah.
And we actually made some progress with some of the legislators who would say, hey, you impress us by coming up here working together. Therefore, we will give more priority to your request mm-hmm. since you are organized and have agreed. And it's an amazing effect. And that worked quite well for us over that time. And the LNTC has changed to some extent.
Yeah.
But we still have an opportunity to work together. These four towns have a great opportunity to do that again.
Carol, you were also on the board of the Kane Center for the Arts from its inception until recently, and we've mm-hmm. only got 60 seconds. But in 60 seconds, what has the Kane Center meant for Cornelius and the region?
The Kane Center is a first-class performance venue. And it's downtown Cornelius, but it is a regional asset. The Kane Center cannot exist without regional support,
mm-hmm.
not only financial support, but customer support.
Right.
And the Kane Center also is a neighborhood community development organization. So it is a great asset for the whole Lake Norman region.
It sure is. We're going to go to a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to hear about Steam Fest, which is coming up this weekend from Lily. Yeah. So stay with us on Town Talk. We'll be right back. Those of you who are streaming with us, thank you for staying with us. And I've got a whole bunch of Chamber of Commerce things, but I don't want to talk about the Chamber of Commerce things because I want to hear from you. Okay. You spent, how long were you the president of the Greenville Chamber of Commerce?
8.5 years.
And we're talking about Greenville, South Carolina, but 8.5 years. And then you were at the Charlotte Chamber for maybe 30 years?
22
years, so 30 years at the helm. What, looking back on your career in Charlotte, what are you most proud of at the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce?
I could talk about number of jobs, and I really haven't added that up, but we've brought a lot of jobs to this region. For example, we would, before there was a Carolinas Partnership, which was a different way of cooperating through the region, we would locate businesses throughout the region, and I'm just thinking of the Mooresville area. We helped locate two big manufacturing plants outside of Mecklenburg County in Iredell County. For example, Terry Orrell.
Uh-huh.
Terry was a committed regional developer and did a really good job, as you may remember, Terry.
Great guy.
On a personal level, an actual thrill that I had is seeing the Lufthansa 747 land in Charlotte for the first time.
And you think about where the airport was when you first got here to Greenville and the international presence that it has today.
It's amazing. This whole region, not just Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, South Carolina, But you have parts of Virginia, West Virginia, North, South Carolina, North Georgia. There's an area of this country that is one unusually fortunate place to be.
Absolutely. Well, when we get back live, we're going to go back over here to Lily. So those of you who are streaming with us, we're going back live on WSIC in about 10 seconds. Thanks for staying with us. Welcome back to Town Talk. I'm your host, Bill Russell. We have Carol Gray with Carol Gray Associates, Michelle Hogerson with the Lake Norman CDC, and Lily Blakely. She's a senior at Woodlawn School. We just had station owner Jessica Zeppes step in, and yes, he did give blood today at the blood drive. So I'm happy about that. So, Lily, I want to read this bio because Lee put this together for me. This is, and you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't talk about yourself. I know you wouldn't. Carol and I would talk about ourselves, but you will not. Lily Blakely, she is a senior at Woodlawn School and a founding member of STEAMFest, which we're going to talk about. She's graduating in spring studying neuroscience on a pre-med track in college. Lily is the first Woodlawn student to attend from kindergarten through 12th grade, which makes her 100% Woodlawn. In her final year of high school, she's taking 5 advanced placement courses, including biology, calculus, Spanish language, comparative government, English language, and 2 online courses in medical problem solving and neuropsychology. Neuropsychology. I'm not even sure what that is, Carol. Lily was the co-captain of the varsity volleyball. In her spare time, she croquets. And Justin Gazeppi, she watches Marvel movies, is an avid Harry Potter fan. Lily, welcome to Town Talk. It's so good to have you.
Great to be here.
Now, you've sat here and you listened all about workforce housing and transportation. Your probably heads probably explode like, oh my gosh. What is STEAMFest for people who don't know?
Yeah, so STEAMFest is an annual event that we have at Woodlawn School. It's a celebration of science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. So basically, anyone of all ages can come for free, and we have over 100 activities relating to STEAM, and you can come explore hands-on and food trucks, artisans.
Now, it starts, it's this coming Sunday?
Yes.
This coming Sunday. What are the hours?
From 12 to 4.
And if somebody wanted to go, they can go to wsteamfest.org.
Yes.
Is there a charge?
There is no charge.
Okay. And then last year, I think there was a shuttle that ran people from Pine Lake Prep and some other schools?
Yes. We have satellite parking at Pine Lake Prep and a couple churches, I think, and Cottle Creek Elementary, I believe, also. But, yeah.
And how long have we been doing STEAMFest?
Well, it started as a science day as just a school event in like 2016. But in 2019, a new head came in and he said that he wants to bring it back and open it up to the public. So that was our first public event. And then we went virtual for 2021 due to COVID. And then now we're back open to the public in 2022, 2023, and this year.
Now, last year I was there, and it was supposed to be a pretty day, and the sky just opened up. It just came down, but then it cleared off. But how many people, so the year before was probably a better model. How many people do you expect this year at STEAMFest?
We are expecting about 2,000. Right now we have 1,100 pre-registrations, and yeah.
And what can, if Carol and I were going over there, what could we expect to see?
Lots of people, lots of kids running around, smiling, hopefully.
A lot of experiments going on.
Oh, tons, yeah. My favorites are the exploding gummy bears. They're kind of a classic there.
Exploding gummy bears.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have some engineering. Got a guy that brings his robot arm you can play tic-tac-toe with. Yeah, hopefully a lot of people running around, doing STEM activities, some live music.
So a lot of engineering type of things that these are really the students are putting these together, right?
We have some student booths, and we have booths from colleges, Davidson, UNC, Central Piedmont, Mitchell, and just people around the area who've wanted to come make an activity for some kids and contribute.
Is there any video footage if somebody wanted to look at, see what happened prior? Is there anything on YouTube?
Yes. If you go to wsteamfest.org, we have all the videos on there.
Okay. And will Lily have something going on?
Oh, well, I am the volunteer coordinator. I took on that role last year, so I'm pretty much just running around with a clipboard the entire time, but I will have a booth for my capstone, which is gender discrimination in healthcare.
Marvel movies. Okay, who's your favorite Marvel character?
Black Widow.
Black Widow. I don't even know if I know who Black Widow. Okay, Bill, who's Black Widow?
She's a good one. Is that the... No. No, I'm thinking of who is in a Marvel movie. Do you know who the actress would be?
Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, that is who I'm thinking of. Yeah, love Scarlett. Love
now,
Black Widow.
And now I always get them mixed up. Is Marvel Superman?
No.
No.
He's action.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he's DC.
Spider-Man?
Marvel, yep. You're on it. Yeah, he's
one.
Back.
I
you're back.
One.
All right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, Iron Man. Yep, all those. All my friends, pretty much.
Okay, back to Steamfest. Why should somebody attend if they've never been to Steamfest? Why should they go to Steamfest?
Well, I always say that Steamfest is a great way to pursue your interests and learn more about anything in the science, math realm, even arts. Yeah, there's just activities, lots of running around. I would say just come out and explore, see what you like. You can maybe find what you like, and yeah.
You're 100% Woodlawn. We talked about that. K-212. What has been your favorite experience of your time at Woodlawn?
Man, that's a loaded question. My favorite thing about Woodlawn is really just the projects, the atmosphere. We do a project-based learning, and I really like a lot of those projects. I've gotten to do projects about like food allergy stereotypes, surgery during wartime. Like, that's kind of my favorite thing just about it. I don't know of a specific memory or event because it's been so long that I've been there, but it's just been a great time. I'm able to explore my interests and make learning fun.
You talked about you're probably going to go into a medical field,
yes.
Something along those lines. Michelle, you were an entrepreneur, probably still an entrepreneur. What advice do you have for somebody like Lily that's starting to make her career? She's early on, she hadn't gone to post-secondary education. Looking back, what kind of advice would you give this young lady?
Wow. I think my first advice would be very strategic about having some people in your life that can coach you, mentor you, that are at least 10 to 20 years older than you are. Mm-hmm. And learn from them. Learn from them. We are the person, we reflect the people who surround us. So I would just be really intentional about the people that surround you. Yeah.
Thank you.
But mentors are so important. They change from season to season, different years. But there's so many people that you can learn from that you don't have to make the same mistakes that they made.
Carol, I mentioned in the very opening that the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce, which is right at 850 members, is one of the largest chambers of commerce in the Charlotte region. I could not have made that boast when you were the helm of the Charlotte Chamber, because you had 5,000 business members in the Charlotte Chamber. The Charlotte Chamber, they made a decision to kind of morph into the partnership, and what we really have now is an EDC on steroids. It is not a chamber of commerce. They would be the first ones to tell you they're not a chamber. They don't put on programs for entrepreneurs or for professional development, no networking mm-hmm. meetings like we would have had. They still, Charlotte Chamber or the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance, has always been the premier advocacy organization in the Charlotte region, bar none, and they still are. Mm-hmm. And they are the premier economic development organization in the area. Looking back on that, you being at the helm of both the Greenville Chamber and then the Charlotte Chamber, what kind of advice do you have, not only for Lily, but for any entrepreneur or business owner that is fixing to take that plunge and make that risk to invest in their business? What advice do you have?
Well, keep in mind that all of us today are here because of people who came mm-hmm. before us. And giving back is part of the ethic of the Charlotte region, North and South Carolina, too, as well. But give back something to the community. And regarding, Lily, your advice, I'll throw one thing in. persistence is really important. You're entering a education track. It's going to be tough. And staying at it is going to be a big, big deal to show up. You'll do well. But back to the business community, obviously you have to have a service or a product that you are promoting.
Stands out.
And I think you can find there's a lot of interest, a lot of young people. Charlotte's getting younger every year. Now, I'm getting older, thankfully. But a lot of young people are coming to Charlotte. So there's a lot of opportunity in Charlotte for all kinds of things. Keep coming.
Carol, I mentioned that the Regional Business Alliance is, and in the Charlotte Chamber, its predecessor was, extremely active when it comes to advocacy. That is something that we as a Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce try to make sure that we're doing. Most people don't join the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce per se for advocacy. They join probably to network and to meet more people and expand their business base. But the fact of the matter is we have a former state senator, a two-term mayor, a two-term senator, who is now my board chair, but he was my public policy chair. And Carol, you know this about Jeff Tart was, yes, he was a Republican, but he didn't always do exactly what the Republicans wanted to do. He sometimes reached across the aisle to the Democrats, so he made friends on both sides.
He really did. Jeff is a rare guy. He's still involved in a lot of things in this region, the Lake region, and he ran for auditor. Did not get nominated by the Republican Party, but Jeff, stay at it, my friend.
Well, that just means that we got him a little bit longer with the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce. Lily, want to thank you for being here, and good luck with Steam Fest this weekend. And Michelle, thank you for what you're doing with our workforce housing. Carol Gray, thank you again for being my mentor. If it's Wednesday afternoon, we're talking about Our Towns on Town Talk on WSIC. We'll see you next week.
Serving you better than ever before. WSIC, Statesville. W290DK, Mooresville. W264CU, Statesville.